You're listening to The Write Process, a podcast in which one writer tells the story of completing one work from concept to completion. I'm your host, Charlie Jensen.
Hi, this is Kristen Griffith, and I wrote a book called Rush, Memoir of a Gay Sorority Girl.
Kristen Griffith is a writer, LGBTQ plus advocate, and product marketing consultant in the tech industry. Kristen has several publications, including the book Rush, Memoir of a Gay Sorority Girl, which has been featured in The Sorority Life and the Kappa Alpha Theta magazine, and is currently being adapted into a feature film. Other publications include In Your Eyes, featured in Secret Sisters, Stories of Being Lesbian and Bisexual in a College Sorority, and The Disclosure Dilemma for Gay Men and Lesbians, Coming Out at Work, featured in the Journal of Applied Psychology. Kristen is currently working on two feature film screenplays, both romances showcasing queer female characters. She holds an MBA in marketing from UCLA's Anderson School of Management, and has worked in tech companies including Meta, Intuit, Netflix, PayPal, and Adobe. Kristen currently volunteers for the Trevor Project and lives in Oakland with her wife and rescue dog. Rush, Memoir of a Gay Sorority Girl, is an emotional roller coaster of a story about a shy girl from Texas who, in her quest for love and belonging, struggles with her sexual orientation and gender expression within the confines of sorority life at a Midwestern university. This memoir offers an exclusive peek into sorority and fraternity culture, rushing, pledging, initiation, partying, drinking, hooking up, and homophobia. Kristen lets us intimately witness her coming out journey, drama with guys, fumbles with girls, romance with a female teacher, angst from keeping secrets, coming out in the school newspaper, and the confidence of being out, along with the pain of being rejected for it. It's about falling down and standing tall as we figure out who we are and who we want to be. It's about the universal desire to be seen, understood, and accepted as our truest self.
It really started all the way back in college. I came out as gay. I think it was my senior year in college. I was asked to write an article in the student newspaper. After much deliberation and fear about it, because I had no creative writing experience of any sort, and I wasn't widely out, I did it. And that was really the first time that I wrote anything about this part of my life, that I put any of it on paper. I think a couple of years after college, I was in grad school when I was at Rice University. I got a notice through the gay and lesbian organization on campus that some editors that were publishing a book called Secret Sisters, Stories of Being Lesbian or Gay in a College Sorority. And they had previously published a book about men in fraternities who were either gay or bisexual. And so now they wanted to do a compilation of women who were in sororities who were gay or lesbian. And so I submitted a story for that. It ended up getting accepted and it was published in that book, but that was probably 5 to 10 years before I actually really had the idea of wanting to turn this into a book, before it really became a reality and I started writing scenes. And to make a long story short, I took a memoir writing class, or a class on creative nonfiction, at UCLA Extension. In that course, I was encouraged to write about parts of my life that had a lot of emotional intensity. And the scenes that I were writing was mostly around college, coming out as gay, being in a sorority, and people were really responding to my writing, and I really enjoyed it. By the end of that course, I had a full outline for the book. It was broken up into 4 sections, one for each year in college, and I had each of the chapters laid out and had written parts of a few scenes. And that's when I really first had the idea of, I think I might be able to make this into a book. Other writing experience I had up until 2011, when I took that course, was only nonfiction. So journal articles, more research publications, 2 of which were on LGBTQ topics. So during that, probably 10 years prior to me taking that memoir writing course, I was always very involved in the LGBTQ community and volunteering. As part of that, I volunteered at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. I was facilitating social and support groups for LGBTQ folks. I was astounded by the amount of people that were in adults and young adults that were struggling with coming out and understanding their identity and being able to accept their identity. even though I had mostly gone through that process already, I had actually originally wanted to write just a straight up nonfiction book about coming out. And I wrote a whole outline for the entire book for that, wrote a few chapters, but it felt very research articles, book chapters. But I was actually bored with trying to write it that way. And that's originally how I ended up wanting to take a memoir writing course, is because I thought a different format might fit better and that I would be more passionate about the writing and that people would respond to it. 4 years of college is such an experience of growth for a lot of people. I think the reason that I wanted to time bound it that way was because I knew there was a really good trajectory in terms of change of, in this case, the character, which is me, is that I started out college freshman year thinking I was straight, joining a sorority, which is traditionally very heterosexual, very, you know, traditional values type of organization, including emphasizing being very feminine, of which that's another thing that I struggled with, is my gender expression is being more androgynous and less feminine. And so at the beginning of the story, freshman year, I was one way, thought I was straight, joined a sorority. And then by the end of the 4 years, I was in an extremely different place and felt more comfortable expressing the way that I present myself. And so it was a very clear trajectory. And it also felt like a very fun timing, and it very easy for people to understand. In terms of how I got from my outline to actually writing a lot of the book, to be honest, it was very difficult, and this whole trajectory to getting published took almost 10 years. If we look at the first 5 years or so, I was only very sporadically writing different scenes. And part of the reason was I had moved to San Francisco and I had taken a job in tech, and I had fairly recently gotten my MBA from UCLA Anderson, and I was building my business career. So building my career as a product marketing leader in tech, and I was commuting 2 to 3 hours a day and working a full-time job. And I really was just here and there, very little. And I did take one other memoir writing course as well during that time. I was reading books on how to write memoir. I was reading memoirs for inspiration. I was listening to this podcast called So You Want to Be a Writer. I would listen to it on my bus rides to work. I would listen to it while I was working out for inspiration. I wrote a book proposal and I wrote a few sample chapters. So that took me almost 5 years. And I also don't think that in my mind I was truly committed to turning it into a book. I think I wanted to, but I had a lot of self-doubt. I didn't have a degree in creative writing. There were a lot of personal hurdles that I had to get over to get to that point. And what happened after that is I had this book proposal and I thought I was going to go the traditional publishing route because I didn't really know any other route to go. I think self-publishing was a very different place in around 2015 or so. And I actually had the book proposal and I got the name of someone who would read your book proposal. You would pay them and they would give you feedback on it. And this was in San Francisco. And he gave me feedback. I don't really think he actually read the book proposal, to be honest. And the feedback was really just, you need to build a platform. And that feedback was very discouraging to me because, again, I'm working full time and building a platform wasn't something that I wanted to do. At that point, I had this one story I really wanted to tell. I thought it would really help a lot of people. And I didn't have designs of writing things necessarily beyond that or doing more books or other writing. And so I was very discouraged. And I also sent some of those 3 sample chapters at that time to an editor and someone who worked in publishing in New York that I got connected to. And she told me at that time that my writing wasn't good enough yet and that I needed to work on the craft. And again, I'm still working full time, commuting 2 to 3 hours. I put it down for maybe 2 or 3 years. Probably around 2018, just for some context, I published it at the very end of 2020. And so around 2018, I took another memoir writing course in Berkeley, wrote some more of the scenes and more of the chapters, shared the writing. I knew I had to tell the story. There's just something in me that just wouldn't let me let it go. And that I just felt like it was important to tell it both for myself, because I felt like I would help people in the LGBTQ community, which is very important to me. Got some great feedback. And I remember talking to my instructor in that class and telling her that I wasn't really sure if I really wanted to turn it into a book. I wasn't sure if my coming out story was still relevant. Times have changed a lot. Things are more accepting. And she told me, you need to write this book. I have a friend, a good friend, whose young daughter was struggling with coming out as gay, and she committed suicide. And this was in Northern California just a few years ago. And I can only imagine certain other places in the country where it's even less accepting. And it's true that statistics I've seen with Trevor Project, for example, is that LGBTQ youth are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide as their peers. I think that's what really reinvigorated me, really reconnected me to the reason why I wanted to publish the story to begin with. And she said, you need to keep writing. So I started to work on it again. And then I think the thing that really put me over the edge with, no, I'm really doing this, was I was working at Adobe. I was a team leader at the time, and I was invited to be part of a 10-month long women's leadership program called Leadership Circles. And in the very first in-person session that we all had, all of us, about 50 women or so, were asked to think about some of our goals and dreams for ourselves, both professional and personal. One of them that I had was, I want to publish this book. And then they asked us, all of us, to stand up in front of everyone and share one of their goals. And I thought to myself, I really want to share this goal, but two things are going to happen if I share it. Number one, I am coming out as gay to this whole group of people, which is a little nerve-wracking, even though I've been out for many years. And then also, I'm going to be stating publicly for the first time that I want to publish a book. So I'm going to have to do it. And so I did. I stood up and said, one of my dreams is to publish a book about my coming out experiences in a sorority in college. From that point on, that's when I really buckled down. And I, now that I was committed, I created a project plan for myself. So yes, I have a business background. I got my Excel spreadsheet out and I made a work back schedule for myself. I had to make a decision too, whether I was going to go the traditional publishing route or self-publishing, because that obviously affected a lot of my activities. I did a lot of research to try to determine which way I wanted to go. And things had changed a lot since when I first had this book idea. And after doing a lot of research and soul searching about which way I wanted to go, I decided to self-publish because, number one, speed. I had been working on this for almost 10 years, and I felt like I want to get this out into the world as fast as I can. And it's also timeliness of it as well. The world changes pretty fast. And also just having control over the story. I just knew that in terms of speed, from everything I had read and heard, that it might take 2 to 3 years to get it through traditional publishing, whereas I could do it extremely quickly myself. And so I decided to go the self-publishing route. So built that into my project plan in Excel. Line by line, I would say, because I think there were ended up being maybe about 25 or 30 chapters. They're fairly short chapters. I, just for some context, love reading memoirs. I also really love reading thrillers. And thrillers tend to have very short chapters and they're fairly fast read. And so I tried to infuse some of that thriller-like quality into the book so that it could be a fast read. And it would be chapter one, complete first draft, chapter two, complete first draft, then revise. So just line items for every single thing that I needed to do. And I would put dates by them. And I had a goal of when I wanted to publish. And because it was a memoir, I also mined a lot of information that I had about my life. So I went back and looked at a lot of old photographs. I looked at a lot of old sorority paraphernalia and information, song books, notes. I would look at old letters. I interviewed people. I went back and obviously looked at some of the articles that I wrote previously. And so I mined all of that information as well. I would also listen to songs that reminded me of that time period. And in terms of the actual, when did I write? It was hard because, again, working full time, I just fit it in while I could. I would write, I would have my computer with me and I would write on the hour, hour and a half bus ride. I would fit in some writing on the weekends. I definitely didn't do it every day. It was just whenever I could fit it in. And I'm a morning person, so typically I could only do it in the morning. By my ride home, I was just, my brain was fried from work and trying to write. Something that I missed during this writing process, I did not have a writing group. And because I really wasn't living in the world of being a writer, I really didn't have writer friends. I didn't know very many people who wrote. And so I didn't have that support system. for inspiration. I mentioned before I listened to that podcast, So You Want to Be a Writer, help me keep going. And so I was really relying on inspiration from podcasts. When I think about my project plan and all the dates that I set, I was very successful at keeping to that project plan. That's just happens to be a personal strength of mine, is when I set goals and dates, I'm actually very, typically very good at getting to. If it's something I really want, I will do it. But it takes me a lot of extra time and I have to cut out other stuff. I'll do it to hit that date. That really worked for me. In terms of how long it took me to get to the first draft, previous to that 2018, when I said it out loud that I'm going to do it, it probably still took me, might have been a year, to get the complete first draft. Once I had the first draft, there were a few people that I leveraged to read it and give me feedback. Again, I didn't have a writing group. I didn't have professional writers that I knew. And so I had a friend, actually a coworker. She was the most avid reader I think I've ever met. And she also is an Amazon reviewer of books. And so I gave it to her. And also I have a friend who is a high school English teacher. And I gave it to her. I also gave it to my wife, who is probably the biggest critic. She doesn't read a ton and think books have to be really interesting in order for her to read it all. And so I gave it to them and they all gave me really useful feedback. I incorporated that feedback. And I also sent it to my parents and my sister because they're in the book. And I wanted to make sure that everything that was in there was true to how they remember it and that they were okay with what was in there. And so that's how I got as edited as I could. I certainly, during this time too, I was reading more books on memoir writing and was trying to continually learn so that I could incorporate new things I was learning into my writing as well. Once I did that, then I actually hired an editor and copywriter to get it to the next level. So in terms of the feedback that I got from my beta readers, and there actually was one other person that I did send it to, another coworker who was an avid reader and she's LGBTQ, and I thought that would be a really good perspective as well. The feedback that I got was mostly around the things that were really interesting and the things that weren't as interesting. What it really helped me do is to take out some of the chapters or pieces that weren't quite as relevant to the overall story or weren't quite as compelling or interesting, and to make sure that I keep things in that were the most interesting to people. And that's one thing that I would ask when I would give things to people to read was, tell me what were the most interesting parts. Tell me what the most boring parts or the most confusing parts were. And also some of the feedback I got helped me to restructure things a little bit to keep a little bit of suspense of what's going to happen. Those were some of the biggest things I got out of it, is where to cut, what to definitely include, and then some areas to restructure it a little bit. I had read that hiring a copywriter and professional editor make a lot of sense. And copywriting and editing is definitely not one of my biggest skill sets. And I also don't like it at all. There's a platform called Readsy. So Reedsy. I interviewed a few editors, people who do editing and copywriting, and landed on a woman who is LGBTQ. That's one of her specialty areas. She was able to take my full script. So she did three rounds. So two rounds of editing and one of like the final copywriting. And what she was able to do was just amazing. I had no idea what I would get from an editor because I've never worked with one, but she cut out about 30,000 words without losing any of the meaning of the story. It was outstanding. I was blown away by what she was able to do. So we did one round and she would mark everything and I would just decide which changes to accept or not. And I made a lot of changes. And she also had some notes on, it could be like restructuring or do you need this chapter, that kind of stuff. And so I would make the edits, another round, make the edits, and then she did the final copywriting as well. That's how I got to the final draft using her. And something else to say with that too, there's some other changes that she suggested that's worth mentioning, is that I made sure to change everyone's names in the book because it's a memoir and I wanted to make sure to protect people's identities. And another thing is that she not even just reminded me, but told me, make sure to take out anything that makes others look bad. And so I did scrub through a few places where, yeah, this might make someone feel uncomfortable, even though they're not identified by name. And so I did a few places. It was okay for me to look bad, but not because I'm writing about myself, but to not make others look bad. And then there was also some places where, because music was such a big part of my college experience and a passion of mine, and I had included some quotes within the book of song lyrics that I thought really added to the story, but I ended up taking them out because I didn't want to deal with any legalities or approval needed. It was a little bit unclear how long can the quotes be, and I just didn't want to risk anything. So I took those out, and actually one of my beta readers, she actually had a suggestion to create a Spotify playlist featuring songs mentioned in the book. And so I actually did that, a little bit of a compromise. So in terms of self-publishing, I had to do a lot of research, read books, looked on Amazon publishing. What I decided to do was to publish on both Amazon and then through BookBaby. So for Amazon, the book's published on Kindle and then also on paperback. But through Amazon, if anyone has a different ebook format other than Kindle, then it wouldn't be available. My dad had told me that my uncle had recently published a book, and so maybe talk to him. And he used a company called BookBaby, and they will distribute it just, you know, widely. And so essentially, I used Amazon because that's typically where the bulk of the sales will come from. But then BookBaby, they're distributing it everywhere other than Amazon. And you can get it on Walmart.com or Barnes & Noble's. So I had to go through both platforms to do it. But in order to get to that, so sure, I had a finished book, but it's not in the format that you need to turn it into a book. I went back through Readzy and I found a designer. What the designer did was to take the book format and formatted in the specific type of file that is needed to create a book or to create an ebook. So she did the cover art, and there's different cover art for the ebook versions versus a paperback. It looks different. And then also she did the interior of both paperback and the interior of ebooks, and they're a little bit different and they're in different formats. And so I got to work with her on that, which was actually a lot of fun. Some of the design elements that are in there and the fonts, a lot of fun. And so she sent me a whole bunch of files at the end. So essentially I had all the files that I would need to upload to both Amazon and then also to BookBaby to get it published. And through Amazon, it was also fun because, you know, you could also pick the size of the book, different color options, et cetera. The process is actually very fast once you figure it out. But I did have to watch a number of videos on Amazon and talk to a few folks in order to make sure that I did it correctly. And you're able to preview it and get some proof copies. And I actually got through Amazon, I got a proof copy of the paperback. And once I read through it, of course, I saw a few typos. And that's what they recommend, is that you definitely need to proof it, because no matter how many times it's proofed, you're going to see something different when you see it in print. So you get a print, proofed it, typos, corrected it, got a proof, and did the same thing with the Kindle. It's got the proof, saw a few typos, and then corrected it. I was actually really worried that there would be a typo at the very end, and no one has ever found any. So I'm extremely, extremely excited about that, because even in traditionally published books, there often will be maybe a typo or two. With self-publishing, you do have access to seeing the sales real time. You also get a bigger cut of each sale than you would obviously through traditional publishing. And you're also able to promote it any way you want. There's no one out there that is telling me how I can and can't promote it, which is really nice. I did some promotion in the beginning. I still do a little bit now, but it's typically more reactive in terms of the promotion that I do. It's been more groups reaching out to either interview me or can you do this talk? But I am actually considering potentially working with someone to do some PR. One of the things that I did is that I always had this thought in my head that this story would make a good TV series or a good movie. Shortly before I published it, I reached out to some folks within my network at UCLA Anderson who are in the entertainment space, just essentially saying, I have this book that's coming out and I do have interest in potentially adapting it to TV or a movie. And I had some people reach out to me with interest. One of them, he is actually my manager now, and we are working to adapt it as a movie. And so there is a director attached and a producer attached, and it's being pitched for financing as we speak as a movie. And so I'm really excited about that. But I did proactively reach out to my network about that. And so that's been really exciting, because that is certainly a dream of mine. I think it would be fun. What was hardest for me about the whole process was the fact that I didn't have and don't have a degree in writing, or my background was not in writing. And so I had to get over that mental block that I needed to be a trained writer to be successful or to be able to write a good story that resonates with people, which is definitely not true at all. I had to get over that. There was a lot of hurdles, like mental hurdles, that I had to get over in order to publish. And some of it had to do with the fact that it was a memoir. Like, there's intimate details about my life during that time, and, you know, including sex, including drinking. And certainly there's some things that I did during college that I'm not super proud of, which I know a lot of people don't make the best decisions always in college or in life. And I was worried that because of what I did professionally and that working in the tech world and working in the business world, that it would actually harm my reputation. In the worst case scenario, could I get fired? Will I be embarrassed somehow that, you know, maybe my writing's not good enough? Or will maybe no one even care about my story? Will and there are so many things that I worried about that actually did not happen at all. It, pretty much the exact opposite of what I thought might happen actually happened. I was at Adobe at the time. This was during COVID time that was happening. And they had a lot of different Zoom sessions featuring employees of diverse backgrounds, just talking about their life and just the diversity that is employees. And one of the sessions that they put together was featuring employees who have published books. And they invited me to be one of them that spoke about it. So the exact opposite happened that I was fearing. I also feared that there might be backlash from my sorority, because certainly it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies when I was coming out in college. And it's been the exact opposite. So I've been embraced by people in the sorority, both in my chapter who knew me and by nationals. I was published in their quarterly magazine. And so a lot of things that I worried about just did not come to fruition. But actually, when I was at Adobe and I was in that women's leadership program, Leadership Circles, one of the things that we got as part of that program is we got access to an executive coach. We got 6 sessions with a coach. And I do remember that being able to talk through with that coach some of my fears about actually publishing a book, it was actually very helpful to talk through, because it was really important to me to be able to do what I felt like would help other people and put that maybe above just, you know, anything personal. To be able to reflect it back to someone, okay, here are the things I'm afraid of, and just playing out, okay, here's the absolute worst that could happen if you publish this book. And is it really that bad? And will you survive if that happens? If someone says your writing is not good, or if someone says, I don't think your story is interesting, or if you get fired, yeah, I can get a new job. So I went through all the scenarios of, oh, here's the absolute worst that could happen if I publish this, and I can recover from all of it, and it might not be that bad. And then I played out, oh, here are all the positive things that could happen, and more positive things that have happened than I could have ever even imagined. So the fact that it's may get adapted to a movie is just, I could almost not imagine. And now that I have published this book, I feel empowered that I do know how to write. I am a good writer, and I will actually say for the first time out loud, I am a writer. I'm rewriting my first movie script right now, and I have an idea for another one. So I actually feel like doing this first book has gotten me over the hump, and now I have other ideas, and I have crossed over that of, yeah, no, I do want to make this a career. Maybe I have 2 careers, my business career and my writing career, but it's pushed me past that and had so many positive effects that I couldn't have expected. I have been positively blown away by people's reactions and surprised in some cases. So for example, with the sorority environment, I've had a surprising number of people to reach out to me, and they were really excited to read my book because either now they have a daughter who is LGBTQ and they're reading it to understand. And I find that really interesting. I've also had lots of former sorority women who have reached out to me who they were not out in college, did not feel comfortable. Like, that's the majority of the cases. They did not feel comfortable. And certainly some who were out, but there's been a real mix. But it makes my day when I hear feedback from people of just that are so appreciative of reading the book. And it always reminds me of, this is why I wrote it, to just, if I'm able to touch a few people's lives, make a few people feel better in the moment, feel less alone, or feel like, hey, I know how to understand my daughter or son better and can have a better conversation. It reminds me of that's why I did it. And I really haven't had negative reactions, which is obviously, maybe surprising and just delightful at the same time. Pieces of advice for aspiring writers or writers. Number one would be making sure you pick a project that you are just truly, truly passionate about, because it may take you years to do it. You're going to need to spend so much time doing it that you need to really, really care about it on a very deep level. As I mentioned earlier, I found out that even though I'm very passionate about the LGBTQ community, when I tried to write it as just straight up nonfiction instead of creative nonfiction or memoir, it just wasn't working for me and I didn't have enough passion behind it. And so that's another thing to think about is, not only are you really passionate about the subject, you really care about it on a deep level, but is it in the format that speaks to you? Because obviously you can write it as memoir, nonfiction, a novel, a play, a movie, a TV series. And so switch it up if the story calls for that. There was a second story that I wanted to write as a memoir, but I didn't have enough motivation to write it as a memoir and it didn't feel right as a memoir. And so that is actually my first screenplay. It's adapted or inspired from that. And it just felt more right. And it has taken so much less time. It's probably taken less than a year to get to that. A second piece of advice is to get a writing group. I have learned from experience, not having a writing group is a real downside. And now that I have had a writing group for my screenwriting for a little over a year, it has just been invaluable being able to share feedback, toss ideas around. It just makes the writing so much more fun. You feel like you have accountability buddies. You feel like you have encouragement, and it just makes the process more fun and faster. So if you can find folks for a writing group, and I met all of these folks through UCLA Extension through my first class there. And we've been together for more than a year. A third piece of advice is just for those out there that are not professionally trained writers, as in you didn't get a degree in college for writing, just assurance that you can publish something that people want to read and that they connect with. One thing I will say is that do spend the time to learn the craft. I certainly have had to take courses and find other ways to learn how to do it, whether it's to get feedback from people in the profession, whether it's reading about it, whether it's reading tons of memoirs and analyzing them. I certainly needed to take a lot of effort to do that. So it is really important to be able to learn the craft, but you definitely don't have to do it through college. That's for sure. I think a fourth piece too, is that I think a lot of people do think that you need to go traditional publishing or that's the best route. And my advice is that self-publishing is a very great option for many people. People can get bestsellers. Self-publishing, you do obviously speed, control. There's a lot of benefits to self-publishing. So whatever idea you have is not the kind of idea that is easily picked up through traditional publishing, which a lot of unique authors might not be, or people from diverse backgrounds, then I think go for it. Self-publishing can be a great option. If a book is successful, it can always get picked up by a traditional publisher later as well.
And now, a reading from Rush, Memoir of a Gay Sorority Girl.
Junior year, 1994. I hope the shots of rum, screwdriver, and Bud Lights I drank before we left would give me the courage I needed tonight. I wasn't out in my sorority, and though I had brought my girlfriend Sarah to an informal event as a friend, I had never slow danced with her or showed any PDA. I had never heard of any out gay sorority member in any of the 7 sororities at my Midwestern university. In fact, the only gay person in the Greek system I had heard about was kicked out of his fraternity when he came out. I blurted, "Do you want to dance?" Looking surprised, Sarah stopped. "Really? Yes." I took a deep breath and felt a strong punch in the gut. Sarah slowly moved toward me and I moved toward her. I looked around to see if any of my sorority sisters were watching us. About 25 straight couples seemed engaged with each other, slow dancing in the grand hall on campus at our sorority pajama party. Our flannel pants and slippers fit in with the sea of boxers and sexy pajamas for the theme party. We stopped close, face to face. Sarah didn't move and neither did I. I stammered, "Yes." Even as my stomach clenched harder, her touch sent warm shivers of pleasure down my body. Her arms circled my neck, and she pulled in closer until our bodies touched. She rested her head on my left shoulder, nuzzling into my neck. I could feel her long brown hair brush against my skin. My eyes remained wide open, As one by one, the stares started. I felt my face burn. Some people looked confused, some looked angry, some looked disgusted. I could see couples whisper to each other as they looked at us. Some couples pointed at us or stopped moving altogether. I couldn't see Sarah's face since her head was nuzzled in my neck. Did she feel the daggers aimed at us too? I didn't hear the music. Frowns hit me from all directions, so I avoided eye contact with everyone. I tried to focus on Sarah and enjoy the moment, but I couldn't. All I felt were the stares. I thought about sprinting out of the hall. It was like the dreams I had in elementary school, where I found myself on stage naked while everyone laughed at me. In the dreams, I would run off the stage in embarrassment. Now it felt like I was choosing to remain naked on stage and accept the laughs instead of running away and putting on clothes. The song felt like it lasted an hour. When it finally ended, I avoided eye contact with everyone except Sarah. I quickly said to Sarah, "You ready to go?" As we bolted out the door, the searing wind slapped me in the face and whipped my long blonde hair into my eyes. I took out a Marlboro Red, lit it, inhaled deeply, and felt the bitter smoke in my lungs. As we walked back in silence, I smoked two more cigarettes in quick succession. Sarah looked at me with compassionate eyes as I took another drag. Walking quickly, thoughts hurtled through my head. What are people going to say tomorrow? How will I face everyone in my sorority? Will everyone be talking behind my back? Will I get kicked out?
The Right Process is hosted and curated by me, Charlie Jensen. This season was produced by Jamie Moss. The Writers Program offers courses, certificates, and services that help writers achieve their writing goals one page at a time. For more information, visit writers.uclaextension.edu.